abilities of a husband. This morning, though, I'd like to speak primarily to the wives. So as you're turning there, Proverbs chapter 12, would you join me in prayer? God in heaven, we thank you that you're our creator and that you created us both male and female, that you created us with distinction. And Lord, you speak to us through gender. Lord, how we conduct ourselves as men and women and how we relate to each other matters to you. And it speaks profound things to your people about you. And this morning, Lord, we pray that you would speak to the wives particularly about their role and responsibilities to help their men be the men that you've called them to be. Lord, we thank you for the stirring you've begun in our church, in our hearts. We pray that it would sweep our community, our nation, our world. Lord, a manly revolution needs to take place. Men need to stand up and be men. But Lord, we can't do it without the help of our wives. And so we pray this morning that you would work in a great way. I pray, Lord, I want to pray a bold and ambitious prayer this morning. Lord, I pray that you would change the hearts of many wives, that you would impact many marriages, that you would save some marriages and set some marriages back on a good course, and that you would do great things this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter 12. We'll read one verse, verse 4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. A wife holds incredible sway over her husband. She has the power to shape him for better or for worse. Through her wise influence, a husband can soar off the launching pad and conquer the moon. Or the same wife can sabotage his mission. A foolish woman can cause her husband to crash and go up in flames. In our text this morning, Solomon says that a wife is either a crown on her husband's head or rottenness in his bones. She is either a crown or she is a cancer. Over the last 5 weeks, we've learned that gender matters, that God created humans with distinction, male and female, that we're both made in God's image, that we are equal in importance and status. A woman doesn't have to arm wrestle with a man to be equal with a man, nor does a man have to cross-stitch to be equal with a woman. Equal doesn't mean same. One of the great tragedies today is the idea that women can't be equal to men unless they're treated identically. Thus, the death of chivalry. I treat men and women very differently. I carry the load, not the lady. My wife doesn't carry the groceries in, I do. I open the door for her. I volunteer my coat if she's cold. If a group of guys are sitting in the room watching the game and a woman walks in, I give up my seat for the woman. If a guy walks in, he can sit on the floor. Some women call this oppression. I'm showing honor and respect. Godly men will encourage their wives and daughters to be feminine. Godly women will support masculinity in their husbands and in their sons. Masculine and feminine are not just social constructs. They point back to God's creation. God made men to be men and women to be women. And God has appointed the man to be head and the woman to be his helper. Men take charge and they lead. Women join in that charge. You know, some women hear the word helper and they see that as an inferior or as a lesser role. But in the New Testament, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as helper. The Holy Spirit is God. He's equal to the Father and the Son. There's nothing weak or inferior about the Holy Spirit. In God's plan, nothing gets done without the Holy Spirit. Both head and helper reflect God's image. We are equal but different. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 13, God lays out a hierarchy. Apparently, it's important to God that everyone is under authority to someone. Paul writes this, "The head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. And the head of Christ is God." As we've noted, at church and at home, the Bible insists on male headship. But notice there's one thing higher than a man's head. What goes on top of the king's head? His crown. And here is where most men will place an excellent wife. He will treat her as his glory, and as his treasure, and as his crown. Yes, the husband is the head of the wife, but he will honor and exalt an excellent wife above his own head. He'll treat her better than he treats himself. She is his crown. She is a trophy wife in the good sense of the term. He's proud of her. He brags on her. He likes for her to shine. He's gentle toward her and protective of her. A husband cherishes an excellent wife. But a wife who causes shame is like a cancer. She's like rottenness in his bones. A shameful wife is always nagging him to do this or to be that. She's never content with what he does or with what he provides. It's been weeks since she even said thanks. She doubts her husband's motives and questions his wisdom. She makes cutting comments. The shameful wife is an embarrassment to her husband. She spends money frivolously. She makes her own plans without consulting her husband. She criticizes his decisions. She spreads gossip. She's negative and mean and has zero tolerance for her husband's imperfections. She manipulates her husband by withholding sex from him. A shameful woman demands perfection from her husband while expecting him to cut her some slack. Oh, after all, nobody's perfect. This kind of a woman is rottenness in a man's bones. Just look at the man who's married to this woman. I mean, he looks like he's been drugged behind a herd of wild horses. He's whipped. He's beaten. You know, some women are intimidated by a real man. They don't want their husband to take charge and stand up because they're competing for control. Rather than a man, they just want a girlfriend with male parts. Over time, some women learn ways to beat a man down and to keep him in his place. A shameful woman is a man-eater. She turns men into mice. This shameful wife guts a man of his joy and his passion and his enthusiasm for life. Rather than reach the stars, he wants to hide in a foxhole. Why take some initiative when it's never enough? This husband would rather lay low and fly under the radar than risk his wife's ridicule and her digs. This kind of woman undermines a man's masculinity. I like C.S. Lewis's observation. We clamor for those very qualities we are rendering impossible. In a sort of ghastly simplicity, we remove the organ and demand the function. We make men without chests and expect of them virtue and enterprise. We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst. We castrate and ask the geldings to be fruitful. Don't ask a man to lead, then take the reins out of his hands. Why should a husband take charge when his wife is just going to buck his efforts until she gets her way? Why should he step up with the kids if she's going to cut his legs out from under him the first time she differs with his discipline? Hey, we desperately need a manly revolution. Men need to man up, but a wife can assist or she can hinder her husband. A wife has the power to build up or to tear down his manhood. She can be a cancer or she can be a crown. And the impact of a shameful wife goes far beyond her own marriage. P. Proverbs 30, verse 21 tells us that this kind of wife can unsettle a whole society. He says, for three things the earth is perturbed. Yes, for four it cannot bear up. For a servant when he reigns, a fool when he is filled with food, a hateful woman when she is married, and a maidservant who succeeds her mistress. Four situations can threaten the foundation of an entire civilization. And notice third on the list, a hateful woman when she is married. The old King James Version translates the phrase, an odious woman. Odious, this doesn't even sound good, does it? It means obnoxious and disagreeable and offensive. The New Living Translation renders this, a bitter woman who finally gets a husband. This is the woman who carries a grudge against all men. She's angry with men in general, yet surprisingly chooses to marry a man in particular. And she takes out all of her pain and her frustration and her confusion and her bitterness that she feels towards men, and she vents it on this one man. Her husband has won the reverse lotto. He paid a dollar, scratched the ticket, and got $40 million worth of anger. And this hateful woman perturbs the world. She tortures her husband. She dooms her kids to a negative attitude toward marriage in the opposite sex. This wife sets back the cause of marriage a couple of generations. Who wants to sign up after watching her in action? I was just a kid the night that my parents had some friends over for dinner. Thankfully, my mom and dad had modeled a good marriage. If what I had seen that night had been my only exposure, it would have left me scarred and jaded. Right in the midst of our meal, this wife turns to her husband and she says, so everyone can hear, Jerry, you can go to the bathroom now. The Adamses won't mind. Here is a grown man so dominated by his wife that she had to tell him when he could and couldn't relieve himself. I felt sorry for that fellow. Prisoners of war get more respect. This week, I found a list of T-shirts worn by hateful women. These are the top 10 T-shirts you hope your wife doesn't come home wearing. Number 10, don't tick me off. I'm running out of places to hide the bodies. Number 9, next mood swing, 6 minutes. Number 8, I hate everybody, and you're next. Number 7, guys have feelings too, but like, who cares? Number 6, I used to be schizophrenic, but we're okay now. Number 5, warning, I have an attitude, and I know how to use it. Number 4, do not start with me. You will not win. Number 3, all stressed out and no one to choke. Number 2, I'm one of those bad things that happen to good people. And number 1, I'm out of estrogen and I have a gun. Now, let me shift gears for a moment and come to the defense of this wife the Proverbs calls a hateful woman. In fact, other translations put a different spin on the verse. They call her an unloved woman. Perhaps she's hateful because she's been hated and unloved. She's been used and abused by the men in her life. Her heart has been broken. Her psyche has been bruised. Men have made her feel dirty and cheap. Now she's taking a risk. She's putting her fragile security and an injured self-worth into the hands of a man who says he loves her. She's trying. Yet here's the sad truth of what is bound to happen. Her husband may be a great Christian man, but he is not the Savior, and he is not the healer. And it is unfair to expect from him what only the man Christ Jesus can deliver. This man may love his wife with all his heart, but it won't be enough. And never in the right way. He'll make stupid statements. He'll do dumb things. Hey, she'll want to trust and respect him, but under the surface of her life, there is a deep distrust and disrespect of all men, and it will begin to boil up in her interactions with her husband. Her healing can only and will only be found in Jesus Christ. You see, a hateful wife needs to ask Jesus. She needs to go to Jesus before she does damage to her marriage. She needs to go to Jesus and ask him to fix her and to heal her and to save her. For what she's doing to her man is not fair to him. It's not fair to her. It's not fair to her marriage, her children, and her family. A manly man takes responsibility for stuff that's not his fault. But there's a lot of stuff that he can't do anything about. He won't have a fix. You see, a hateful and hated wife needs the Lord. And he's there. He's faithful to help her. Now here's the first step in the healing of a hateful woman. She needs to stop believing the devil's lie. This deception goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. There, Satan convinced Eve that with one bite of that forbidden fruit, she could be like God, knowing good and evil. She would eliminate her need for God and for Adam's headship. She could be a totally independent woman. Rather than be Adam's helper, she could set her own course. She could be her own head. Tragically, Adam's cowardice and his passivity contributed to Eve's sin. He too ate the fruit and joined in her rebellion, and they both were cursed by God. And ironically, in the aftermath of her actions, Eve became more dependent on the man than before. Adam was cursed in his work, but the woman was cursed in her relationships. Now, birthing children even created intense pain. The woman was also cursed with an inordinate desire for her husband's attention. At times to the point where it caused her to manipulate him and to try to control him. She remained under his headship, but now he was often a headache to her. And after the curse, Adam had his hands full too. For creation was still under his dominion, but now everything under him was fighting against him. Even the woman at times is at odds with him. You see, before the curse, there was no competition between the sexes. But now, a gender war erupts. A battle of the sexes. A tug of war ensues. Man was called to be head, to take responsibility and to lead. But Satan now tries to lull him toward extremes, either to abuse his power and act cruelly toward his wife, or to resort to passivity and abandon his job. The wife was called to be the helper, man's helper. But Satan now tempts her toward extremes, either independence from man or control over the man. Step one in a manly revolution and the better world that it promises is for men to man up. Men, every man in this room, needs to take charge of his life and his surroundings and build a better life for the people he loves and the people he cares for. You need to fight for your family, men. Dad, you need to pass on your wisdom to your children. But step two in this manly revolution must be taken by that man's wife. For women need to stop seeking independence from men or the control and manipulation of men. And they need to embrace their role as helper. Here's a truth. It's so true. When a wife declares war on her husband, he cannot win. Nothing he does works. He cannot win. When a wife wants to fight with her husband, he cannot win. If a wife wants to fight, a husband is destined to be miserable. Men are taught from an early age not to fight with girls. If he hits her, that's bad. He sleeps on the couch or he goes to jail. or she packs her bags and leaves, and he ends up with hefty alimony. If he caves in, he's not a man. He feels defeated and deflated. You see, for a time, a husband will try to shout and scream and argue over his wife, but he's not as good with words or tears as his wife. He can't compete. And so here's what ultimately a man with a shameful wife will do. He just withdraws. He vacates. He comes home, but he lives in the garage. Or he hangs out with his buddies. Or he builds a shop in the basement. Or he stays at work and just works a lot. Or he takes up golf. Or he goes fishing. They abandon the headship and leadership of their family. Ladies, if a wife wants to lead, the husband will let her. In the Amazon, there's a tribe of Indians that have an unusual wedding custom. It's a way of testing the groom's preparedness for marriage. On the morning of the wedding, they take the young man's hand and they tie it up in a bag full of fire ants. And all through the wedding festivities, he wears this bag and he suffers the sting of thousands of little fire ants. He is considered fit for marriage only if he remains cordial and moves through the ceremony with a smile on his face and with laughter on his lips. But I'm telling you, you don't have to go to the Amazon to find a fire ant marriage. There are women in our church who sting their husbands constantly, and he just puts a smile on his face and acts cordial and laughs a lot. It masks the deep down hurt he feels inside. It is painful to get stripped of your manhood and to get emotionally castrated day after day after day, to be taken for granted and disrespected and treated like a boy instead of a man. I want you to listen to a few Proverbs this morning that talk about the odious woman. Proverbs 19, verse 13. The contentions of a wife or a continual dripping. Ever had a dripping faucet? No fun, is it? Not a pleasant sound. It drives you nuts. In fact, this is how wartime armies interrogate their prisoners and pry out of them national secrets. I'm telling you, a hateful wife is a torture to her husband. Proverbs 21 verse 9 and 25 verse 24 are similar verses. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Proverbs 21 verse 19. Better to dwell in the wilderness. I mean, complete and total isolation is preferred than a contentious and angry woman. Proverbs 27 verse 15 goes back to the leaky faucet. A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. It's easier to corral a hurricane or hold oil in your hand than it is to contain an angry woman. Here's two more. You're liking them so much. Proverbs 14, verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. And here's the point of today's message. For 5 weeks now, I've had women come up to me and thank me for this series. Oh, Pastor Sandy, my husband, he needs to take charge and be a man and lead his family and love his kids. But ladies, along with your husband's change of heart, you need to be wise. You need to ask yourself how your actions and your attitudes are influencing his behavior. Are you helping him man up, or do you pull him down? Here's one more. You can kind of put it on a card, cut it out, put it on the refrigerator. Makes a great memory verse. Here's one more. Proverbs 11, 22. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. You know, some gals get by on beauty. She's gorgeous. So her husband puts up with her folly and her antagonism. But this woman needs to think ahead. What's going to happen when she gets stretch marks and wrinkles and start sagging in the wrong places. Gravity will take its toll. This is why a wife needs to learn to nourish her husband. Beauty might attract a man at first, but it is discretion that is going to keep that man happy. With the time I have left this morning, I want to give you wives two ways that you can join our manly revolution and help cultivate masculinity in your husband. Here it is, two ways. Treat him with respect and treat him to some sex. Treat him with respect and treat him to some sex. Ladies, men are real simple. We're not complicated things. This is not hard for you. Trust me, this is very, very simple. Men are real different from women. With a man, you don't have to prime the pump or throw a lot of switches. Men are not always changing. Their moods and their needs aren't a moving target. Men are just real predictable. If a wife wants to make her husband feel manly, this is not rocket science. It's a simple recipe. Sex and respect. Now, a home-cooked meal on occasion is a bonus. But hey, if the sex and respect is there, the cooking isn't even required. Major on sex and respect, ladies, and your husband will lasso airplanes and scale mountains and pull stars from the heavens just to please his wife. He'll even take out the trash. An excellent wife uses discretion and supplies her man what he needs. She is his crown. Now, this is so simple. Here's the first way that a wife can encourage her husband to man up and be responsible. Treat him to some sex. You know, a woman's sexuality includes a smorgasbord of activities. She cycles monthly, and she gets pregnant, and she gives birth, and she nurses children. And this is how God shapes her feminine identity. There are many points of connection. But a man's sexuality consists of a single act, intercourse with his wife. This is his only legitimate, God-approved focus from puberty until the day he dies. His male identity and his sexual masculinity is tied to this one act. So your husband, he comes home from work one day. Times are tough. Business is slow. His productivity is lagging. Man, he just got the beat down from the boss. And there are women all over the office who dress nicely for him every day and come on to him in subtle little ways. In fact, his buddies are badgering him to join them at the strip club. But he's faithful to you. He's committed to intimacy with only his wife. He says no to temptation all day long. He refuses to wander. He comes home. And when he gets home, he plays with the kids. And he helps around the house. Not as much as you'd like, but he does a couple of things. And around 9 o'clock, he suggests that he would enjoy sex with his wife. But his wife says, oh, I'm too tired, or I've got a headache, or a backache, or a toothache, or it's too hot, or it's too cold, or it's too early, or it's too late, or there's a TV show I want to watch. Honey, we just got TiVo. In the middle of the conversation, the baby squeals. And so she runs off to wipe a nose, or to change a diaper, or to rock the child for hours. But this man who works for her and lives for her and says no to temptation a million times, she can't find a few minutes to excite him and encourage him and make him feel like a man. What's up with that? Instead of a treat, this husband feels like he's been tricked. This is a wife who lacks discretion. She is short-sighted, and she doesn't know men. Here's Bible truth. You want Bible truth? Let's Bible truth this morning. Here's chapter and verse. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 3 through 5. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. A man who wants intimacy, ladies, listen. A man who wants intimacy with his wife, he is not sex obsessed. He's not some pervert. Sex in marriage is not sinful, it's holy. God sees it that way. In fact, God sees it as the glue that holds marriage together. It is a married couple's obligation. The scripture continues. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. They swap when they get married. You know, I swapped my ugly, hairy, smelly body. I gave it to Kathy, and I got her beautiful, gorgeous, amazing body in return. And that was a good deal for me. That was a good deal. And now, what do we do with each other? What do we do with these bodies now? He says, do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Do you see this? The only biblical reason for a married couple to forego sex is a season of fasting and prayer. That's it. A hateful woman uses sex to barter with her husband, or to blackmail him, or to manipulate him. Wives, if you're doing this, shame on you. This is husband abuse. Marital sex should be fun and free and fulfilling and, most importantly, frequent. Read the Song of Solomon. I got my Bible behind me. Sex is a gift from God to married couples. I'm convinced most wives don't realize how important sex is to their husband. I'm convinced of this. How many of you wives desire conversation with your husband? Raise your hand if you do. How many of you wives desire conversation with your husband? Yes, almost every wife desires conversation with her husband. How many of you wives would think something was terribly wrong in your marriage if conversation were lacking? Probably the same number. Well, listen, sex is to a husband what conversation is to his wife. True, isn't it, men? Sex, oh, you're really backing me here today, you know. If you're not man enough to say amen when I call for it, you need to put extra in offering this morning. Just support in some way, would you? But isn't that true? Amen. Sex is to a husband what conversation is to his wife. To some women, the word husband has become a synonym for words like provider and father and nice guy and handyman and friend and even garbage collector. But they've stopped associating husband with lover. Wives, your husband needs to know you desire him in the same way that he desires you. And you bruise his fragile male, and it is so fragile. You bruise his fragile male ego if you make him feel like a burden or a bother to you. Ladies, you're undermining the revolution. When a wife makes her husband feel like a man, oh my, her wish becomes his command. Red-blooded manhood surges through his veins. The old boy gets revived. The next day, he's ready to charge out into battle and slay dragons for his wife. Ladies, men aren't difficult to decipher. Your husband is not a Rubik's Cube, okay? Just treat him to some sex and treat him with respect. Ephesians 5 is quite clear. Husbands should love their wives. And you would assume that the reverse would come next. Wives, love your husbands. But that's not Paul's instruction. Instead, Paul says, wives, respect your husbands. Ephesians 5 verse 33 tells us, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband. Wives need love, and husbands need respect. When a wife nags her husband and pesters him, she's treating him like a child. She's not respecting his decision or perhaps his indecision. Oh, but my husband, he lacks discretion. He lacks wisdom. He doesn't always act in a respectable manner. Ladies, this is your plight as daughters of Eve. This is why submission to an imperfect, flawed authority is called a curse. Your husband will make some mistakes, and you'll be affected. And a wife has to make a choice. You can mutiny, you can throw the captain overboard, you can criticize him and punish him and remind him of his failure and stop trusting him and make him walk the gangplank. By now, he might want to. Remember that continual dripping. It's like a very rainy day. Or you can make another choice. You can, at the very least, respect a uniform. I mean, you can respect the position that God has given him. And you can respect in him what you saw in him when you married him. You did choose to marry him, you remember. Or you could even respect what you believe God can make of him in the future. There's a lot of things that you can respect. You see, a husband has to learn on the job, and it's going to take a few mistakes for him to gain experience. But a wife who bails on her husband undermines what God wants to do in his life. Your continued confidence will help him get back on his feet. Here's what happens when a wife starts to disrespect her husband. Since most men aren't going to fight with their wife, they just withdraw. They stop showing love. And how does the wife react to this? Oh my, she gets angry. She becomes more disrespectful. She's angry, he withdraws. She strikes out at him, he goes fishing. A husband who's hurt and disrespected will distance himself emotionally. He will love less, and her disrespect will grow, and it all becomes a vicious cycle, and Satan gets the victory. A wife needs to respect her husband. A man's greatest need is to be respected by his wife. Men do have a fragile ego, and respect is what props it up. You know, some men borrow from the confidence their wife has in him. That's where they get their confidence. They get it, they borrow it from the confidence that their wife shows in him. Wives should understand that it is a man's tendency to rise to the level of the respect that he has shown. Continue to respect him, and he will grow respectable. Wives, have you noticed that even when you tell your husband, when you compliment him on stuff that's really not even true, he still believes you? Have you noticed this? You just tell him, baby, you look fine. His eyes will brighten up, and his chest will poke out, and oh yeah, baby, so fine. It's not true. But you compliment him and he believes it. He wants to believe it. Tell your man, tell him all the time that he's smart, that he's strong, that you love him. Compliment him on the manly stuff he does. When he kills a giant, or when he climbs a mountain, or when he breaks a wild horse, or when he opens a jar, or when he plunges a toilet, or cleans out the gutters. Compliment him on the manly stuff he does. Ask him questions you think he can answer. Follow his directions. You know, the greatest way you can respect your husband is to ask him for his prayers, because that implies you believe he can connect with God and intercede for you. Sometimes wives forget that men like being needed and appreciated. You know, an independent woman can come and go and give her husband the impression that he's unnecessary. To a man, this is the ultimate show of disrespect. Every husband needs to believe that he is his wife's hero. Every husband. Again, ladies, this is so simple. This is not brain surgery here. Handling a husband is as complicated as operating a broom. He's not a 10-course meal. He's a peanut butter and jelly, all right? Wives, to retrieve your husband off the rooftop, to get the old boy back out of the desert, real simple. Just bless him with some sex and some respect. In conclusion, the men of this church have started a manly revolution, but our revolution will flicker before it flames unless our wives join. There's an old saying, behind every good man, there is a great woman, and I agree. I'm praying that the men of this church will be godly men who will encourage and respect the femininity of their wives and their daughters. But we also need women who will encourage the masculinity in us and in our sons. Ladies, undergird, don't undermine your man. Be a crown to him, not a cancer. Oh, for the day when men were men and women were proud of it. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that it would fall on those who have ears to hear. I pray for the wives here today that they would drop their defenses and they would listen to your word. And that, Lord, if you have a message for them today, that they would hear clearly. They would hear you speak plainly. Lord, I pray for the husbands as we've spent 6 weeks now talking about a man's responsibility and role as the head and leader of his family. I pray that there would not be a man in this room who would lag behind and not take this seriously and not step up and be a real man and build for his family and fight for his family, impart wisdom to his family. And if they don't have wisdom, to get wisdom, to study your word, to be a man of your word so they can give wisdom. I pray for every man, every woman in this room. Lord, we do thank you for the promise that all this holds, that you do want to build a better world. And it'll happen when men act like men and women act like women. And they interact with each other in the ways that you've ordained. So, Lord, thank you. We pray you would stir up a manly revolution in our hearts here in this place, in this church, in this community, even in this nation, in this world. We pray, Lord, that it would begin in my heart here today. We love you. Thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't we all stand?